You're listening to the Boots and Suits podcast, where we highlight the work of our office and field workers, breaking down the stereotypes together. This is Boots and Suits.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Boots and Suits, the podcast where our field and office workers join me to talk about different topics together. I am your host and Power Superintendent, Chris Robinson. Today, we're going to talk about leadership. We are joined today by our suit representative, Casey Woods, and our boot representative, Justin Hamilton. Casey, why don't you go first?
Sure thing. Thank you, Chris. I am Casey Woods. I've been with Tacoma Power for about 5 years. I work in Power Shared Services in our training and apprenticeship work group, and I serve as the training and apprenticeship analyst. So doing a little bit of our work with training, we manage training for all of Tacoma Power. And then we also have 5 apprenticeship programs. So our group manages those programs. We also do a little bit of work in workforce development, education, outreach, and just a plethora of other things as well.
You want to share anything about you with us besides you do? Yeah.
Let's see. I enjoy sewing. So my background actually is in fashion merchandising and interior design, and oddly ended up in the utility industry. But those skills lend themselves in different areas. But I enjoy sewing, and I'm currently sewing a dress.
Oh, wow. That sounds complicated. Well, Justin, how about you?
Yeah, so I've been here at Tacoma Power for 12 years. I'm a lineman here at Tacoma Power. I started as a trainee 12 years ago and was able to get into the line apprenticeship program and topped out there. And now I've, in the last year anyways, been promoted to foreman and am running one of our 2 transmission crews. As far as about me a little bit, been married for 17 years to my amazing wife, Katie, and we got 3 kids. My oldest son is 14, daughter's 11, and youngest son is 7. So they keep us pretty busy with sports and everything. And when we're not doing that, we like to get to hang out and do some hiking, surfing, and fishing.
Where do you surf?
We just started surfing, so within the last year. So we've been going out to Westport. Yeah. A couple times and getting the kids wetsuits and renting some boards. So it's a lot of fun.
Yeah, that sounds fun.
The kids have a blast.
That's kind of one of the things I wish I was. I wish I was a surfer. I tried it once. It's really hard.
Yeah, I wish I would have got into it a long time ago. So it's a lot of fun.
Your kids will be good. Your kids will be good.
There you go.
Yeah, that's cool. Thanks for sharing all that. All right, well, let's get into today's discussion. Like I said, We're gonna talk about leadership, and I imagine, you know, even maybe before you worked here, or just in your personal life, or in your professional life, and your history, you've probably seen or experienced good, or maybe even great leadership. But what I really want to know is, what did they do, or what do they do that makes them a great leader? Casey, why don't you go first?
My experience, I would say I've appreciated leaders who are authentic, who show up as their full selves and are really appreciative and understanding of where other people might be coming from. I've seen other leaders do the opposite, and so really appreciate leaders that are authentic. Also appreciate leaders that have compassion and empathy, leaders that meet people where they are at and then walk with them to, you know, where they're trying to go, especially throughout this time of COVID and just a lot of other things happening in the world. I think compassion and empathy have been even more important to have as a leader, whether you're in our organization or anywhere else.
Do you have any like specific behavioral examples of like how a leader that you've experienced modeled any of those qualities?
Sure. My grandfather passed away in June of this year unexpectedly, and my supervisor, I'll name her Cheryl Brown, did a great job personally of just checking in on me, but also giving me space to grieve and mourn and kind of process things. I'm more of a person that reflects on things before responding. So I really appreciated the support from my team. In that, I could definitely see authenticity. That's just naturally who she is as a person. But I could also see her compassion and empathy modeled in that as well.
First thing I want to say is I'm so sorry about your grandfather.
Thank you.
That's very sad. But I am glad that you got the support you needed from both Cheryl and the rest of your team members. Not surprised at all. I've gotten an opportunity to know those folks, so I'm not surprised at all. Justin, how about you? What have you experienced or what have you seen are examples of just really good or great leadership?
I think for me anyways, being able to build a sense of respect and trust with their employees or crew members. Before I worked here, I worked for my dad for quite a little while. He had a trucking company. Seeing his hard work, even when he had a number of employees, it just never stopped him from being willing to roll up his sleeves and go jump in a truck and go deliver a load, or, you know, go out there and unload a truck just to get his guys out of there in time. So just being able to see guys do that where they don't feel like they're too above doing something that maybe is a little bit beneath where their job title is, as far as going towards building that respect that the guys will have for them. So I think that goes a long way to seeing good leadership.
Being willing to do what you're asking other people to do.
Exactly,
it's a great example. Well, thanks for that. I appreciate that. So we heard some really good examples of good leadership, and now we're going to turn to maybe some examples of what we may have experienced or seen where we've experienced not so good leadership or even bad leadership. Might be best to not share names here, especially if the guilty are amongst us. But in all seriousness, do you have any examples of what you have seen or experienced with bad leadership? I'll provide you an example. My very first job out of high school, I was a house framer, and I was on a crew, and the person who led the crew was actually the owner of the construction company. His idea of leadership was to yell at us all day, and mostly he was yelling at us to work faster. And that was a miserable experience, and it was, you know, frankly, a very unsafe experience. Just that summer, I did that. A few people got hurt, including myself. I shot a nail through my finger. We started to use those pneumatic nail guns. And then another guy tripped over a cord and almost fell off a third story, house deck. He quit on the spot. So that was probably the best example I have of bad leadership. But how about you, Casey? Have you seen maybe not quite that extreme, but have you witnessed bad leadership over your time?
I have. First, wanted to say sorry that you nailed through your finger. That doesn't sound very fun. Do you remember what that felt like?
Oh, it hurt. Okay. And we were furring out a ceiling, and I accidentally put my hand behind what I was nailing. Ouch. And it happens instantaneously. But the worst part was the boss's reaction was kind of like, I don't know if it was literal, but his attitude was stop bleeding and get back to work.
Not a good experience. For me, in times, I'm more of a strategic person. So if someone who has lack of vision, I don't want to say maybe bad, but not the best example of leadership. I would add to that someone who belittles others. I feel that everyone has inherent value, and it's our job as leaders, regardless of what your position or title is, I think it's our job to call out the potential in others. And if you're belittling others, you're doing the opposite of that. I guess I would add, anyone who micromanages, I think it's important to give your employees tools to get their jobs done and clearly communicate what your expectations are. And in doing that, you would hopefully not be micromanaging. So I would say those are some examples of what I've seen as bad leadership.
The last one, the micromanaging, I think a lot of people make that mistake, especially new managers make that mistake. Mm-hmm. And probably confess that I probably did myself when I originally got into management. And I think a lot of times people just don't know that they're doing it. And right. they tend to try to keep doing their old job, and drives the person who, is now in their job kind of crazy. Justin, how about you? What are your thoughts on this?
Real quick, just like you, I was a framer for a couple of years when I just got out of school or out of high school. So I have shot a nail through my hand as well before, and that doesn't feel all that great. but as far as bad leadership, I got to kind of tag on to what Casey said and micromanagement. I think that is one form of bad leadership, just, trying to tell everybody what to do all the time and not letting people actually go and do their job and do it well and not giving them the tools to do it. Either that or even a poor or lack of communication, I think, can also lead to bad leadership. I don't know. I think I might have just topped out or had been a lineman for, I think it was over a year. One of the guys that I was working for, we install pole grounds on the poles before we set our poles. And there's many different ways that you can do it. And as an apprentice, you're doing pole grounds all the time. So it's not like it was something new to me, but anyways, I went and installed the pole ground before we got this pole set, And a couple minutes afterwards, I turned around and my foreman had gone back and taken my pull ground completely off and rerouted it and did the type of pull ground that he likes to do, you know, without telling me anything. And I'm a pretty easygoing guy. So as far as like, if there's something that you want me to do or if there's a way that you would like me to do it, because everybody likes, you know, doing stuff different ways, you know, just tell me. And if that's what you want, I'll go ahead and do it. So just, you know, going behind my back and redoing the work that I had already done. I don't know if that was necessary micromanaging, but it just made me feel like, all right, well, I guess I can't do this as well as you want me to. So it just didn't make me feel very good. And I mean, it stuck with me to this day. And that was probably 7 years ago. So
thanks for sharing that, because y'all probably do sort of flavors of that, right? Sometimes. So it's good to remember how when you do something like that, it impacts the person that it's being done to. All right, Justin and Casey, why don't we take a little break and have some fun? Let's play a Halloween trivia game, given that Halloween is right around the corner. So what I'm going to do is I have five trivia questions, and I'd like to make a little bit of a competition out of this. We'll see if you guys are competitive people. I've got a Starbucks gift card here for the winner. You guys up for that?
Yeah, let's go.
Yeah, let's do this.
All right, the first question, in what country did Halloween originate? And this is a multiple choice. The options are England, Ireland, or New Zealand.
I'm going to go with Ireland, and I think that's wrong, but I'm going to go with Ireland.
If you think it's wrong, why are you going with it, Casey?
I don't know.
All right, Justin, how about you? What do you think? Which country?
I'm going to go with New Zealand on this one.
New Zealand. The correct answer is Ireland. It originated from a Celtic festival celebrating the new year on November 1st. Traditions were to light bonfires and wear costumes to ward off ghosts. So there
look
you go.
At that.
Learn something today.
Learn something new.
Okay, let's go to the next. So Casey won, Justin zero. Next question. Were pumpkins always used to make jack-o'-lanterns? Yes or no?
Now that the question's posed, I'm going to say no.
I'm going to go with no on this one, too.
Smart. Just agree with Casey. So apparently, they weren't always used to make jack-o'-lanterns. Originally, turnips and potatoes were carved to celebrate the legend of Stringy Jack, someone who played tricks on the devil. Pumpkins were carved in place of turnips and vegetables when the Irish immigrants moved to America, which I think was a significant improvement. I can't, a carved potato doesn't sound very Halloween-y, for lack of a better word. All right, third question. In what city and state is it illegal to have silly string? The choices are St. Louis, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, or Manchester, England. Justin, why don't you go first this time?
And that's a tough one. I can't piggyback off of Casey on this one, so. Let's just say, did you say LA? Was that one of the choices?
St. Louis, Missouri, Los Angeles, California, or Manchester, England?
Let's go with Los Angeles, California, because that sounds like something they wouldn't like.
Okay. How about you, Casey? What do you think?
I'm going to go with Los Angeles as well. I'm thinking of like environmental stuff with silly string, but
You guys are sharp. It is LA. So the ban started in 2004, and it can cause a $1,000 fine for selling it or having it. So it's not only illegal to have it, you can't sell it either. So if you were planning a trip to LA, leave your silly string at home to avoid a fine.
Good to know.
All right, we're on question four. In what state is it illegal to dress up as a nun, priest, or rabbi for Halloween? Alabama, North Carolina, or Texas? Which state is it illegal to dress up as a nun, priest, or rabbi for Halloween?
I'm going to say Alabama. My family's from all of those states, so I should probably know this, but I don't.
How about you, Justin?
This will probably be wrong, but I have to go different from Casey so I can try to catch her. I'm going to go with North Carolina.
Well, I think the lesson in here is you should just say the same thing as Casey, because she was right about Alabama.
Yay!
Passed in 1965, forbidding anyone from dressing up as any religious leader. If you're caught, you could receive a $500 fine or go to jail with a maximum sentence of 1 year.
Weird.
Okay, the last question Every Halloween, Charlie Brown helps his friend Linus wait for what character to appear? Now, this one's a little hard because as soon as someone says it, they're both of you going to know the answer. So I want you to say it at the same time on three. Ready? One, two, three.
Snoopy? I don't know Charlie Brown, so I just guessed that.
I should know this one, but I don't.
It's the Great Pumpkin.
Oh.
I knew it had something to do with a pumpkin, but I couldn't remember what it was called.
So neither of you got that one.
I know my kids
have watched it a couple of times, so I just never have been paying attention while they're watching it.
I was afraid that there would be a generational benefit on that one, because it's when I was a kid, we watched the Snoopy every year at Halloween. We looked forward to it, but I'd be surprised if it's as popular as it was back then. Anyway, well, thank you. I probably don't need to reveal the score. It's probably clear to everybody that Casey won the Starbucks card, but I wanted to thank both of you for playing. You both did a great job. Everybody knows, we do these annual employee surveys. The way those work is you're able to kind of see what areas of the organization have the highest morale. What we typically will do is we'll go talk to those managers and say, well, your morale in your group is like off the charts. What do you do? And it's kind of funny because 9 out of 10 times they're like, I don't know, I just do what I do. But when you really observe it, it's some of the things that you just mentioned, Justin. It's really, and that Casey mentioned, it really comes down to communication, and this sense of there are people who really care about the people who work for them. So why is good leadership so important? Casey, why don't you tell us that?
I think good leadership is important to not only your team, but to your organization, because depending on who your leaders are within your organization affects the quality of the work that you're doing. It affects your reputation in the community. And it also affects just how well maybe other teams have an opportunity to collaborate. So regardless, if you have a good leader, those things will be positive reflections of your organization. If you have a bad leader or bad leadership, then oftentimes you might see a lot of people leaving to go to other opportunities. You might see poor quality of work. You might see customers who don't want to have anything to do with your organization. So I think it affects lots of different things. And so it's really important to invest in good leadership and good leadership skills.
Wow, that's a strong argument for good leadership. So what you're saying is if I'm not a good leader, and if I don't support the people who work for me, I'm not likely to be successful.
I would say that, yeah. People leave bosses. They don't necessarily leave their organization. So if you see a lot of people leaving a certain department, it might point to something or someone.
Thanks, Casey. Thanks for saying that. That's going to get people's attention.
Now people are going to go look, who's leaving? And I'm like, I didn't say that.
You'd be like, who's this Casey? So, Justin, I've had an opportunity recently to see you in action, your leadership in action when you were working on the Nisqually transmission line. And from my perspective, that looked like pretty stressful work. The tower looked like it was about to fold. It was really striking how sort of calm, cool, and collective you and your crew were. When you were done with the work, I came over and I was kind of excited and I said, wow, that was amazing. And your guys were like, yeah, we do that all the time, dude. But anyway, I was super impressed. And I was particularly super impressed with your leadership.
Oh, well, thank you. I got a really great crew that works with me. And it just, it's been nice because I think one of the benefits to this whole COVID thing is our whole crew has been together it's been over a year and a half, I think, now. So we're pretty in sync when it comes to, doing the work that we do. And so I don't necessarily feel like I have to communicate everything because everybody kind of knows what they're doing and where we're going. And after we have our tailgate, everybody just goes off and does what we're supposed to do. So it goes really well. And it's been really enjoyable to be over there for this last year and a half.
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, just a tremendous display of teamwork.
Yeah, they do. It's a lot of fun. That job was a new experience for sure. Not too many towers falling over.
No. Thanks for that. Thank you for that.
Yeah. Hopefully not too many more either, but it was a new learning experience. So
want to explore a little more how good and bad leadership make us feel.
Bad leadership impacts me personally. I'll start with myself. I'm normally disengaged and not really giving my full participation if I'm experiencing bad leadership. But in that, I think it's also important to communicate with your supervisor if you sense that something is going wrong or know that maybe something needs to change. I think it's important to give your supervisor the grace to let them know that maybe something is off, so you're not continuing, you know, in that same situation. As far as the team goes, kind of speaking to what you were saying earlier, affects morale. So the team would have lower morale or maybe not care as much about maybe the project or the value of what they're working on. I know for me, it's important to understand why I'm doing something and how my values might play into why I'm doing something. So as far as morale goes and just overall engagement, I feel like those things would be lower with bad leadership.
Yeah, I totally agree. And I've actually witnessed that myself. I use the word disengage, and I've witnessed that when people are not getting what they want from their supervisor, sometimes they'll become apathetic or actively disengage. So those are great points. How about you, Justin? What's your thoughts on this?
Yeah, I think bad leadership definitely affects morale, you know, not just, I mean, for me personally, but also for your team or your crew. And just being, I mean, we spend so much time at work in our lives that, I mean, I like to have fun when I come to work and still be productive, but, you know, enjoy myself at work. And so if you do have bad leadership and that morale is down, then definitely makes work less enjoyable. And then that ends up making, I think that eats into your production, you know, and your drive to, you know, want to do well or, you know, go above and beyond just because the environment just isn't as great.
Really well said. I've seen it to the point where it actually impacted people's personal life, where, it could get so miserable at work that they're sort of miserable outside of work and don't want to even come to work. But all great points. Thank you. Thank you so much. So then let's go back to the more positive and talk about good leadership. How does good leadership make you feel? How do you feel when you're experiencing good leadership? How does it impact you and your team?
I think it does the opposite. I think it definitely, you know, you enjoy going to work, definitely earns respect with your leadership and trust with your leadership, just being more productive. Like I said before, I want to be, I like to have a good time when I come to work and not feel miserable. So it just definitely makes your work experience more enjoyable when you have good leadership around.
Yeah, you can probably measure that by how many times you laugh during the day, right?
Exactly. Yeah.
How about you, Casey? What are your thoughts on this?
I would agree with what Justin has shared and just add, I feel like it helps your experience with your team members to be improved, but also in the work quality that you have and how you maybe serve your customers, whether that's internal or external. I know when I have experienced good leadership, my mood is overall better. And kind of speaking to what you were sharing earlier, Chris, in my personal life, I don't feel as stressed out in my personal life, which then might bleed into my work life. I'm able to enjoy the work that I'm doing. And you can see that in either like work quality or how I communicate about what I'm working on. I'll have more ownership of it if I have good leadership and understand the vision of the leader and where they might want to see things going, but also have an understanding of their expectations. So I feel like good leadership is important because it affects the trajectory of a team, but in that it also affects the trajectory of an organization and your reputation.
A great answer, Casey. Thank you. So I have one more question for you, and I'm looking for a one-word answer on this one. You'll be tempted to give me several, but your number one, what do you think is the number one skill, attribute, or behavior of a good leader?
Humility.
All right. How about you, Casey?
I'm going to go with service.
Okay, that's a good one. Mine's empathy. Yep. There's no right or wrong answer here because all those things are really important. But yeah, there you go. There's the top three. We had humility, empathy, and service. Well, thank you very much. That was great. I learned something today, and I want to thank Casey and Justin. I thought you guys provided great answers and hopefully a little bit of for everybody to think about how we're behaving and how we're serving our number one customer, which is our employees.